What's up, everybody? How we doing, man? We back for another Can We Keep It Real podcast, man. Definitely take the time to share this right now. Hit the like button, whether you're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you're watching on, you know. But I think in the future, we might be going over to Twitter. There's less stuff going, less BS going on over there. But today, another special day. You know, we're going to bring back a guest that was here a few months ago. You might know him from Westerly, Rhode Island, our good friend, Bob Cherardillo. What's up, Bob? How you doing?
Mikey, nice to talk to you, buddy. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, always, man. You're my guy, man. How you doing, man? How's the fight?
The fight is in full swing right now for almost 2 years now. Since August of 2020, we've been at it. Trying to fight for our kids, our good teachers, and our country, and that's what we do.
I mean, you've really been, since you took on this fight, you challenged CRT, for the people that don't know, critical race theory, you challenged that. I know the attorney general ruled in your favor a while ago, and then you found some pornographic reading material in the school library. I think that was the best find, because I don't think that's limited to Westerly. You know, I think that's probably all over the state of Rhode Island. So talk about it.
It is, Mikey. You know, well, first of all, you know, when we first started this, yeah, it was all about the tenets and pillars of critical race theory. It was about the radicalization and the racialization of our schools, which it still is. And then, you know, the social emotional learning, which I hope we'll get into a little bit tonight, talk about that a little bit, which really seeks to it's really the Trojan horse that allows all this stuff to get into the schools. And then specifically, we can talk about this book called Gender Queer. And, you know, first of all, I have to say, and I'm getting kind of tired of saying it, honestly, but I say it on all the interviews I do, is that, you know, people on the left who oppose us they say of me and others that we are anti-gay, anti-LGBTQ, anti-trans, anti-this, anti-that. All we are is anti-porn in terms of this book. You know, and I care about all kids and all people. Did I lose you?
No, I'm still here. Somebody was actually just walked into the studio.
Oh, no worries. Quick,
but I'm sorry. Go ahead. So
we care about all kids and all people. And, you know, porn is porn, whether it's homosexual, heterosexual, whatever it is. And it doesn't belong in a high school library, taxpayer-funded high school library, where a 14-year-old kid can walk in there and access pornography. And I can call it pornography with confidence because it does meet the definition of the Rhode Island general law and the federal law of pornography and violating obscenity laws. So that's why I can call it confidently, I should say, pornography. That's kind of where we're at on that. And, you know, I'm sure that we'll get into where we've progressed.
Let me play a quick clip of one of your meetings. This was going back a few months ago now the girl standing behind you, was they opposition?
Yes. Those
are. Oh, okay. At first I wasn't sure because I was like, why would they even want to be in front of these pictures?
Yeah. Well, first of all, those are seven of Westerly's worst teachers right there. Okay. That's who they are. And the people holding the poster boards up, those are depictions of in the book, that show, an adult and a child performing sex act on one another. And then, of course, they show kids performing sex act on each other as well. Now, these brilliant teachers got up and tried to block the pictures from the view of the school committee and the others in attendance. So They don't want people to see the pictures, yet they're fighting us to try and keep this book in the school, Wesley High School library. So this is how disingenuous and silly these people are. And quite frankly, they made fools of themselves.
And you said they want to keep this material inside the Westerly, like, school department and the library?
Yes, they want to keep it in the library. And for right now, actually, they've been successful in doing that because we followed the proper procedures set out by policy by the school committee, Westerly Public Schools, rather. And that says that they're going to convene a committee and they're going to evaluate the book and they're going to decide what to do with the book, to take it out of the library or to leave it in. Now, on that committee were some teachers. I think the head librarian was on there on the committee, the principal of the high school, a parent of a child in the high school. But ironically, no adults, no taxpayers who didn't have kids were allowed on the committee. And I've asked why that is. And they don't care about anybody that doesn't have kids in the school. They don't care about old people whose kids have graduated, like me. I'm 60. My kids are gone from school. They don't care about that. They don't really care about anybody that disagrees with anything they have to say. So they voted to keep the book in the library. They won't tell me right now who was on the committee, but we'll find out one way or the other. We'll find out.
Like, how could they vote to keep this book in the library? Like, you look, that looks like a man and a boy.
That's exactly what it is. That's
you can go to Rumble and actually, I think, see this video. Right. Or you could just Google a research of your name would bring this video
right
up.
That's right.
And I heard you play sound of this, like, well, you actually read from the book. And I was like, that sounds like some hardcore porn material.
Right. And it is. And the people crowded around me, the teachers, like I say, if that had been, say, me or somebody who believes as I believe doing that to another speaker, we would have been escorted out and arrested. But the chair allowed this ridiculous BS to go on. And in fact, told me that I had hit a new low when I was presenting this stuff. And my
response, hit a low, but the person that put these books in the school department, they didn't hit the low. Like, you're just bringing it up. Like, I mean, when you were reading it, I was like, wow, he's being pretty, pretty graphic. You know, you went into detail, which it was needed. It was very much needed.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if a 14-year-old can go into the library and pull that book out and read it, why can't adults here? Why can't adults in the audience look at Lisa Fazzaro?
I fought for her to keep her job at the high school because, you know, that, you know, we didn't agree on a lot of political things, but I said, you know, that was one that was trying to get kids into college. But shame on her for even, you know, shame on all these teachers for stepping up and wanting to, like, did they know what these books were when they decided to step up?
She's having a nice laugh there. She's having a good laugh right there. But you know what? We filed criminal complaint back on February 19th, after I had a meeting with Principal Hoban and Librarian Mirando that went nowhere. I had no other choice. So I went to the state police to file a criminal complaint, and they said, you got to take it to Westerly. So I did that. File a complaint on the 19th. The Attorney General's office got it somewhere shortly after that. And I've gotten one call from the AG's office back a couple of months ago, and they've ghosted me ever since. I've called and emailed, and I don't think that Peter Nerona or Stephen Danbrook of the AG's office is listening to this podcast. Maybe they are. I hope they are. They should. The best thing they'll watch all day.
That's right. You know it.
But if they're not, if they are, I should say, they'll be hearing from me probably again tomorrow, because I'll be calling them and emailing them every day until they prosecute this case to the fullest extent of the law and stop kicking this can down the road.
Now, I remember the superintendent said, why are you doing this? Why do you even care?
Yeah, he you're talking about Mark Garso, right?
Yeah.
At the beginning, he even said, you don't have any kids in the school. Why do you care? That's the lamest, most stupid comment I've ever heard. I'm a taxpayer. I have roots in Westerly. My family came over from Italy and settled in Westerly. My kids went to Westerly. I'm in the Hall of Fame in Westerly. I was an athlete here. I was a coach here. I was a lot of things here. This community means everything to me, and its people. I love it. And I will be damned if I'm going to sit by, idly by, when people are coming in and trying to ruin our town and our schools by using our kids for what they can get out of them. And I'll get more into that when we talk about social emotional learning and stuff. But, you know, I'm insulted by a comment from Mr. Garceau like that, because our family and I have way more invested in this community than that guy ever will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, that they're here to enjoy, you know, enjoy their fat sandwich that they get, and you know, the nice check, the nice pay. I mean, I heard he was making more than the governor.
He makes $164,000 a year, and he hasn't moved this district forward one inch since he's been here. It doesn't matter how the kids perform. He still gets paid. That's a nice deal. I know if I don't perform, I don't make as much money. This guy, doesn't matter how the kids perform. He still gets his $164,000 a year plus bonus plus whatever the hell else he gets. And Alicia totally Story, horrible. His sidekick, assistant superintendent, makes $130,000 a year. And she said about two words in all the school committee meetings I've ever been to. She doesn't even look up when I'm speaking because she knows I'm telling the truth.
I remember when they had all the teachers come in and block you from one of your meetings. They all had the red sweaters on that right. day, I think. And, you know, like, that was BS. You know, your boss calls you and tells you to come to a school committee meeting.
Well, yeah. See, and you know what happened there, Mikey? That was in July of last year. And that was when I was presenting my my resolution, which would have not allowed any divisive concepts like racism and stuff to be taught in school. And of course, they made that seem like, you know, I didn't want them to teach real, true history and blah, blah, blah. So what happened there was, the school committee chair tipped off the teachers union and all the people that were against what I was proposing. And they got there very, very early. And they knew I didn't know that the meeting was going to start when it did. So they were all lying in wait there. And of course, we had really nowhere to go except in the front row. But that's okay. They did it to us again last week, but we've got an Open Meetings Act violation filed, so we'll see how that goes.
Now, what is the chances that more schools in Rhode Island have these pornographic books in their children's library?
Oh, well, it's 100%. They do. We know they do. I don't know if every district does, but I certainly know that it's prevalent, and if it's not this book, there are other books that depict and glorify pedophilia and pornography and incest. You know, there are a couple more in Westerly also that I haven't gotten to give that much attention to, but they're there. And, you know, we're going to continue to expose and shine light on these sickening, disgusting books that normalize and glorify pedophilia and pornography and incest and contribute to the hypersexualization of our kids, which is poison, in my opinion.
And I just want to let some listeners know that, you know, we do a lot of stuff around high school, and I thought this would be a great mature conversation to have because this is going on in our kids' school, whether it's in Westerly, whether it's in Woonsocket, Warwick, West right. Warwick, Coventry. You know, in all them districts, watch the podcast, you know, yep. And I think this is like, this should not be going on. Bad enough, we are turning our men into girls, you know, basically, you know, with, you know, taking away that masculinity or whatever, but, it's horrible. It's horrible where we're going. So where else is your fight leading you?
Well, you know, tying it into, into athletics a little bit. I'm sure you've heard about the North Kingstown situation with the basketball coach there.
Oh my God, man. One of our listeners just said public libraries as well has the same material in it.
They do. Yep. Sarah, is that Sarah Lynn? Yeah.
Yes,
she's
yes.
exactly right. They do. And you know, while I don't think pornography should be displayed anywhere. I am, my fight right now is in our public schools, because we know that that underage people, kids, can access that stuff. But public libraries do have all these books. In fact, when I read Gender Queer and other books, I did get them at the public library. And she's right about that, too. In the kids section, she's right. So
you're telling me, I don't know if it's, let me get this back up on the screen, right? You're telling me that that this is in the kids section of the library, the children's section.
In some libraries it is, yes. That's true.
That's despicable. Yep. That is horrible. Horrible. I already see them trying to say that. Oh, we need to feel bad for pedophilia. It's a disease. And I was like, what? Like, where are we going with this? You know, horrible that this stuff can be found in our public library.
This whole thing, Mike, is, you know, part of a, in my opinion, part of a bigger picture thing to destabilize our country, to destabilize our state, to destabilize our families. With, you know, you have the radicalization and racialization of our schools and of our districts, their philosophy as well as their curriculum. You have this hypersexualization of our kids through the normalization of pedophilia, pornography, and incest. You have, you know, this social emotional learning, which, you know, blurs the line of safety between adult and student, and tries to cut the parent out of decision making, and tries to make the schools and the teachers the primary influencers of the kids. And it's just a very, very bad thing. And, you know, this, we'll talk about this video, this TikTok video is by this middle school teacher too, I'm sure. But This is all part of the plan here, in my opinion. You know, the Great Reset, we've all heard about that. If you kill a whole generation of kids, or you brainwash them, which SEL does, it kind of wipes the slate clean and reprograms these kids into believing that everything that their parents were taught and everything their parents taught them is wrong and no good, and the country is bad. And you need to listen to the school and to these radical teachers. And not all of them are radical. Most of them are great teachers, but there are some that are not good. And those are the ones we have problems with, because they seek to achieve whatever crazy sexualized, radicalized, racialized dystopia that they want at the expense of the kids. And they don't care if the kids get hurt or not. You know, they're confusing them with gender and sexual identity and all of that stuff. And these SEL surveys that get passed out in school. And I would tell every parent, and I do every time I speak, to please opt out of those surveys, because they're nothing more than mining for data on your kid to be used against him or her and you. So, you know, this is no conspiracy theory here. This stuff is actually going on. We've proven it. We've talked to people all over the country who are going through the same thing in their school districts. And I'll be damned if we're going to sit by and let the superintendent, the school committee chair, the union president, these radical teachers, some of them, ruin our kids and ruin our town and make our kids hate themselves, each other, and our country. That's not going to happen. Not as long as I'm breathing. It's not.
We have so many kids. I just had this conversation with a friend of mine that their daughter was dealing with some personal issues. And we see more kids right now through these school systems that kids are suffering from depression and anxiety.
Right.
You know, how do we change that fad? And I know the doctors just want to medicate everybody. You know, but how do we change this? Because it seems like more kids are getting depressed from what they're learning in school, what's going on in school.
Right. I agree. And I'll say two things about that. The first thing is, who wouldn't be getting depressed and confused about what they're doing in school because it's being done to them deliberately? Okay. Just all the stuff that I just talked about is designed to confuse these kids and to ruin their lives and to make them beholden and to listen to those in school as opposed to their parents, as opposed to their churches. So that's one thing. And the second thing I'll say to that is, you know what? We need to all sit down and figure out what we're going to do with some of these kids that do have, you know, whatever issues they may have. I'm not unsympathetic to kids who are questioning their gender. I'm not unsympathetic to that at all. I know what happens, but the school is not the place for a teacher or even a counselor or a principal or anybody to analyze the mental health of our kids. They're not qualified to do it.
And at 8 years old, is that suitable to have as, you know, does the kid even know at 8 years old that, mom, I don't want to be a boy? I heard a teacher from Massachusetts telling his kids transgender means when a doctor makes a mistake. If you go to Turtle Boy, right. He had it a few weeks ago. The doctor makes a mistake at birth, and it's like, really? So you're lying to these kids. You're teaching them. You're going against science. You're lying to them. You know, what gives you the right? And I kind of called the school out because I was like, here's a school that prides itself on being matching its minority students with its minority teachers. And it's like 73% of the staff was white.
Right.
You know, and so.
If you want to talk about the racial aspect of it for a second, we can. You know, what I don't like and what I can't support are two things. You can't tell a white kid that he or she is successful only because of his or her race. And you can't tell a person of color the same thing, that they can't make it, that they're not successful because of their race. You know what? We all have God-given ability, okay? And what critical race theory does, the tenets and pillars of critical race theory, what they do is they remove grit and hard work and accountability and all of that from the equation. And they focus the success or failure of a kid on his or her race. And that's just, you know, for people of color, that to me would be insulting because that tells me I don't have what it takes to make it on my own. I'm not smart enough. I'm not tough enough. I won't work hard enough. That's a crock of you know what. There are millions of people of color who are immensely successful in this country. And it's not because people gave them anything. It's because they worked their asses off for it and they got what they got because they earned it. And the same thing goes for white people. So I don't buy this critical race theory argument about, you know, race is the deciding factor in the success or failure of a kid. It's just not true. It just is not true. It's a flat out lie. Can't hear you, buddy.
My bad. I hit the mute button. Let's get into this first TikTok video that we have that you had sent me. Do you want to set the premise for the first part?
Sure. This is a seventh grade Westerly Middle School teacher and who has habitually made TikTok videos with and for her students. And in this first video, which I think you're gonna show the first one I sent you, she is apologizing to her kids, as she calls them, because she can't make TikToks with them for a little while because of some cell phone policy or whatever that's been implemented in the district. And then you'll notice the change of expression when she turns to the parents, discussing them, and says, "I'm not apologizing for anything. I don't make these videos for you. I make them for the kids." She's putting up a big fat middle finger to all the Westerly parents in that video. She's telling them to screw off. I can't swear on here, I know, but
no, you can. I mean, this is, you know what? This is adult content, you know, mature audience. You know, that's why it's keep it real. You know what I mean?
Well, she's telling
them how they feel, man. Say how you feel.
Yeah, man. She doesn't care about what the parents say. Remember, I was talking earlier about the social emotional learning seeks to cut the parents out and make the school and the teachers the primary influencers of these kids. It's clear what she's doing here. She's trying to talk to a group of impressionable seventh graders. What are you, 13 when you're in seventh grade? And these kids are very impressionable and they really care for their teachers. You know, the ones that they view as cool, like they, I'm sure they view this girl as, you know. And she knows that. And she's playing upon their innocence. And she knows that she can get them to side with her over their parents. So she's basically, and the kids are going to watch this video too, of course, and they see it. And they're going to get pissed off at their parents about it, the ones that complain. Right. And that's exactly what she's trying to do. Totally.
So this is a Westerly seventh grade teacher. And at seventh grade, like you said, these kids are so, they're soaking everything in, you know, especially if they like their teacher, they're buying what she's saying and they're believing her views, which are, you know, her views. You know, she's not. Let's watch the video. Hold on.
Good morning, friends.
Should be popping up here.
One, to the kids I usually make TikToks with, and four, I'm sorry the cell phone policy has prevented us from making TikToks the past couple of weeks, and I certainly hope that sometime by the end of the year we can start making them again. Because I miss it, and I like seeing you guys in the hallway and talking about TikToks. The second part of my message is for the parents who feel it necessary to complain to school about my TikToks. I'm not apologizing. I just hope you realize that I don't make the TikToks for you. I make them for the kids and with the kids because it's fun and it breaks up our day and it's fun. So, kids, I hope we can have fun again sometime soon, and I truly do miss making them with you. Have an awesome Friday, and have a super weekend, and be nice to your moms because it's Mother's Day.
So what I get out of that is I got somebody that said that, you know, your parents complained because I was making TikTok videos and I don't care what your parents say. You know, this is how I feel. And that's that.
That's right. And yeah. And you see
played,
her.
And she played on the Mother's Day thing at the end. You know, I think that might have been a little scripted. Yeah. But yeah. I don't know the lady, but,
yeah,
and, you know,
and I do. And you see her expression change when she starts talking about the parents. I mean, and the way she talks to these students of hers, it's creepy, man. It's really creepy. And, it's just totally inappropriate. And
it definitely is inappropriate.
And incidentally, we're also looking into, if she had violated any federal laws as far as making TikToks with TikTok videos showing her students' names and faces, which we believe she has.
Good question. Yeah. So well, I know at the beginning of the year, they send out this paper for you to sign that says if your kid's taking any pictures, you know, kind of you give them consent to use right. them. But I don't think they're meaning TikToks. I think they're meaning if right. a school photographer comes in or the newspaper right. guy. I think that's why that policy yes. was written that way. I don't think it was meant for.
They don't mean
TikTok.
A teacher's personal TikToks, certainly.
And they're using TikTok. You know, I post things about TikTok and my platform. I attack a lot of people, so TikTok's always kicking me off, telling me I can't do things. But for right. a Westerly teacher, any teacher to say all of that, you know, let's play the second part. One okay. second.
This is shorter.
Good morning, friends. It's Friday. Sorry, the cell phone policy has prevented us from making TikToks the past couple of weeks, and I certainly hope that sometime by the end of the year we can start making them again. Because I miss it, and I like seeing you guys in the hallway and talking about TikToks.
Was this the same video?
Yeah, I sent you two of them.
All right, give me a minute. I'll upload right. the second one.
Yeah. The second one's I think 30 seconds long or something. It's shorter.
Okay, here we go. 32 seconds. All right. Give me 1 second to. Oh, crazy, man. Crazy.
There's so many things going wrong in this district. We can't keep them straight. It's off the rails, Mikey.
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely agree on that. You know, so while I find that other video, what else are you what else do you have going on as far as the big fight? I know you testified in front of the Rhode Island Senate on the right. What was it, S-22-19 and 25-21?
Yeah, I can't testify twice. Senator De La Cruz put forth a couple of bills back in April that one of them was 22-19, which, believe it or not, there's a loophole in Rhode Island law that allows teachers and coaches to have sex with their students or players.
Did you say there's a loophole that allows teachers and coaches to have sex with their students and players?
Sexual contact, yes.
Are you hearing that? Imagine that. Yeah, there's a loophole that allows coaches and students to have sex with their...
The age of consent is 16, but there's a loophole in there that allows it.
We got to close that loophole. We got to close that. We can't allow that.
So we're working on that, and we'll have some more information on that coming up later in this week, because something's going to happen next week that'll be pretty good regarding that, maybe. We hope. And then 25-21 is an anti-porn bill. Has to do with, you know, what we were talking about before, to try to get the pornography out of the library and stuff. So that was back in April when we testified, early April. And then in late April, one of our senators, Tiara Mack from Providence, actually put forth a bill called, basically we were calling it the Pleasurable Sex Bill, where she wanted to start teaching kids in sixth grade about pleasurable sex. That's like anal sex, oral sex, vaginal sex. And a bunch of us were up there testifying against that sick bill. And I don't think that thing will ever make it out of committee, but this tells you what we're up against here.
This is crazy, bro. Like, this is crazy. And we don't hear about this. Like, yeah. One of the listeners just said, what did you say when we said there's a loophole that allows students, that coaches and teachers to have sex with their students without being 16, age of consent? Like, that is mind boggling.
Yeah. There's an age loophole in there. And I always get this wrong, but, I can't quite remember, maybe somebody that's listening or watching knows the actual loop, the loophole, the age loophole, but it does allow for people that are in authority positions like teachers and coaches to have sexual contact with their students and players. And of course the teachers unions are all up in arms about it because they say it singles out teachers, which is a bunch of BS. You know, in my opinion, if you're going to be a teacher, you probably shouldn't go into it with the idea of having sex with your kid, with your students. You know, probably should go do something else. So
there is a teacher or someone mentioned this to me that they didn't really tell me what district, they said that there's a staff member right now waiting for one of the students to become age of consent. And I was like, that is sick. That's crazy. Wow. And why ain't anybody talking about that? I was like, get me that information. Right. You know, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. What do you mean? You just said that there's a student or teacher like waiting to prey on a kid.
Yeah. See, so not wanting to throw anybody under the bus. How about they're throwing the kid under the bus? You know, they're protecting a pedophile and they're letting the kid become the prey of this sick person.
Okay, well, let's play the second part of the video.
I have rapped in a program. I did a Weird Weekends episode about rap.
Can you remember any of the rap that you did?
My money don't jiggle jiggle, it folds. I like to see you wiggle wiggle, for sure. It makes me want to dribble dribble. You know, riding in my Fiat, you really have to see it. 6'2" in a compact, no slack, but luckily the seats go back. I got a knack to relax in my mind. Sipping some red, red wine. Nice. I have rapped in.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you have been to a Friday Night Lights game. You know, some of them Dunkin' Donuts cups are not filled with coffee. They're not filled with iced coffee, man.
Right on. Like, right on.
I had one administrator, I won't say, like, they work in the high school, fell from the top, like, drunk out of their mind, like, fell over everybody all the way down. So, them Dunkin' Donuts.
At a game.
At a Friday Night Lights game.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's a wonderful example for the students.
You know, and then you hear, I love you. It's like, I thought you hate that guy, and now you love him today. Yeah, exactly. It is a great example for the students. And this is happening all over the place. You know, we're not just singling out Wesley, but this is right. where Bob, actually, a lifetime resident, his parents came here from Italy. You know, his whole, was it your parents or your grandparents?
Neither, actually. My great-grandparents.
Okay, great-grandparents come over. So
yeah, so we have a long history here.
You have a long history here. He coached sports.
Yeah, played, you know, coached,
and
everything.
For the superintendent to say, why do you care? Be like, isn't the town charging me for student services in your taxes, even though
Absolutely.
You don't have kids in the school? Yeah. So I'll tell you what, give me that tax money back. Don't charge the people that don't have children in the district.
Yeah, right? And you know, P.S., all of this stuff is going on and our scores continue to plummet. You know, our kids aren't proficient in math or in English. And I don't blame the good teachers for that. There are plenty of good teachers in Westerly, excellent teachers, great people who really care about their job and care about the kids that they teach. But what's going on is these good teachers are being made to do things and teach things and use methodology that they don't agree with, you know, and quite frankly, the focus of this district now is not on, teaching. It's not on, rigorous subject matter. It's more about diversity, equity, inclusion, gender, social emotional learning, hypersexualization, radicalization. That's what it's all about. And that's why you're seeing, not only in Westerly, but in other communities as well, the proficiency of these kids in reading and in math and in other subjects is plummeting. You know, you have 30% or 35% of your kids proficient in reading. Are you kidding me? 35 out of 100 kids. That means 65 out of 100 kids are not proficient in reading at their grade level. This is the United States of America. We're going to lose this country.
Oh, I think we lost it. I think there's a good, like, I don't know, man. It's kind of like, I'm afraid what we are seeing now and what you said is actually horrifying, them type of numbers. Look at math. I remember when Wendy's was open, I'm in there trying to get change, like they're trying to break a dollar and they have no idea. It tells you what to give back. And it's like, why is a nickel bigger than a dime?
Yeah, man.
So it's like, and then they go to college, and here's the biggest thing. You're sending these kids to college, and because Providence last year had no kid left behind. Everybody passed in Providence last season.
Right.
So now you're sending these kids up to college, and they're getting to college, and they're going for their placement test, and it's like, these kids are plumb dumb.
Well, you saw what happened in Barrington, right? What they've done there is they've taken away the AP classes. So I don't know why, but I can't see you, Mikey.
Yeah, because I'm sharing a couple things.
Oh, all right.
Okay, I'll be back on it once.
That's all right. So they've taken away the here you go, buddy. They've taken away the AP classes, which in effect, they're more concerned about equity than they are about equality of opportunity. And I want to explain the difference to our listeners and viewers, because it's a very important difference. And it's one that our school committee chair and our superintendent don't quite get. Equality means every kid has an equal opportunity for success, okay? Equity is more focused on the same outcome for everybody. They want everybody to come out of it the same, okay? So when you take away AP classes, what are you doing to those high-performing kids? Well, you're not challenging them with rigorous curriculum anymore. So their performance, they're not going to be as motivated. They're going to be bored. Their performance is going to go lower, right? And that's going to bring their performance down that's to be equal or on par with the kids that aren't performing at high levels, okay? It's not a rising boat, a tide floats all boats. It's quite the opposite, you know? So you take away the AP classes, and then you also take away the D's and F's from people's classes. So that's a way to raise the performance of the bottom performing kids without really doing anything to help them get to work up from an F to a C. You're just giving it to them. Okay. So you're bringing down the top performing kids and you're artificially bringing up the lower performing kids. So an A, B, or C doesn't mean anything anymore. The grade doesn't mean anything. They're even doing pass fail on some classes. And when I was at Brown back in the Stone Ages, 40 years ago, we had an opportunity. We could take classes, any class we wanted on a pass fail basis that wasn't in our major. So, and I didn't realize it at the time, but that was kind of maybe doing what is going on now that we're seeing, which is lowering the expectations and the performance of the high performing kids, as well as not raising the bar for the lower performing kids. So they want everybody to come out the same. And that does not bode well for a successful country, because where are your scientists going to come from? Where are your physicists going to come from? Your astronauts, you know, where are they going to come from? You know, so they are seeking a level of mediocrity, and believe me, they are finding it. And you are seeing what the ramifications are and what the results are when people don't focus on reading and writing, because our kids can't do that anymore. You're seeing it. You're going to lose a whole generation of kids because of this planned and this purposeful destruction of them. And when you lose a whole generation of kids, this country is in big trouble. That's why we fight so hard for what we fight for. We have to save these kids. We have to reinstill the values that they were taught by their parents and grandparents. We can't have this pornography, pedophilia, and incest normalization and glorification. You know, it's a topsy-turvy world. What's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. That's not true. I don't want my teacher to be buddies with my kid. You know, I want him and her to teach my kid how to think critically, not what to think. I don't want them putting their political ideas in my kid's head or telling my kid to challenge his or her sexuality. That's not what they're there for. I don't know about you, but when I was in school, we had no idea what our teachers thought about politics. We didn't even know
None.
If they were married.
I had no idea. Right. You're right. Exactly. You know, yeah, that's crazy. You know, and now it's like we're trying to tell everybody our political views now. And it is like, you know, and we're more divided than anything. Like if I was running this country as a business, I think I'd fire everybody. You know, it's like you guys can't get along. Like we're trying to the same goal. Like, what is this? But that's a whole nother show. And that's why I don't get into politics, but I figured since this was central to ride around high school and middle school, and this had a lot to do with the kids, I said this would be a good conversation because a lot of people don't know about this because the media is not allowed to talk about it. They're not what's going on at NK fat right. testing. Now you have more schools and more teachers in NK. I'm sorry, more teachers that are being disciplined and suspended recently. You know, the superintendent dropped out. I think he resigned.
He did.
You know, and it's like, and West Warwick had a situation where somebody was put up on Scituate High School. Their assistant wrestling coaches under suspension right now from the USA judo organization for some crazy thing. So
you
it's happening
in East Greenwich too. I think.
Yes. Yeah. NEG East Greenwich. You got West Warwick, NK, and it's crazy. It's crazy. We need to do better. We need to do more.
Thankfully, we have some some really great activists in those towns, in North Kingstown and East Greenwich. I mean, they're all over the place, but specifically those towns, people in those towns have worked really, really hard, just as hard as we have, if not harder, at trying to save the kids and trying to expose what's been going on in these school districts for a long time. And that's why you see these cowards resigning. And, you know, in some cases, you know, in North Kingstown, reassigning this coach, another school hiring him, and NK not sharing the guy's information with the hiring school, which is just despicable. Because it's more kids up, you know, to get treated that way. So listen, we're put on this earth, in my opinion, Mikey, to do what's right and to do what's good, and not to get all religious on people, but you know what, Jesus stuck up for those who couldn't help themselves, the kids. Those were his people, and if we're going to do his work, we've got to fight for our kids. And if that's the hill that I die on, then so be it. We're all going to be judged when our lives come to an end on this earth. And I'm not saying we're going to win this fight. There's no guarantee we're going to win it. But there is a guarantee we're going to lose it if we don't fight. So every day we show up, we go to the meetings, we take the spears from people and the name calling and all the nasty things they say about us. You know why? Because we tell the truth. Telling the truth is the greatest feeling in the world, because no matter who is against you for whatever reason, and our opponents don't bring any fact-based information to the table at all, we do. We're prepared. Yes, we speak with emotion, but we also have facts to back us up. We fear nobody because we tell the truth. And that's why, you know what, WBLQ won't have me on because Frank doesn't do his homework. He doesn't want to talk to me. The Westerly Sun.
Frank's horrible. You know what?
The Westerly Sun will not do a story on what we're doing. You know, they do publish my letters to the editor, but they will not do a story. They will not put Garso and I in the same room. They won't do it because they're just they have nothing to back up what they say. If you tell the truth, you can put your head down on a pillow at night and feel pretty damn good about what you're doing. And that's how we feel. And that's how the people that we work with in our group in Westerly Residents Against Indoctrination, we've got about 850 people in that group. We work very closely with other groups throughout the state. And we've become very close friends with a lot of these people because we share beliefs. We all love our country. We all love the state of Rhode Island. And we all care about our kids. And we'll not let anybody, no matter who they are, hurt these kids.
Absolutely, man. You know, you're always welcome on here, and I see what you're doing, and I'll always promote you. I'll always give you the platform, and I'll give anybody the platform that wants to speak.
I appreciate it, Mikey, and just I want to say, you know, it isn't about me. It's not about those of us who are front and center on this thing. We're just doing it because we care about these kids. And we care about our many good teachers, and we care about our country. I do want to tell you, though, our Facebook page, I think it's very educational, if you don't mind. It's called Westerly Residents Against Indoctrination. We've got some great people on that page, very smart people who post a lot of great things. And it'll teach people a lot about what we're doing and about why we're doing what we're doing. And then same thing with my Twitter. My Twitter is it's at bcaradio14, at bcharadio, the number 14. If you'd care to follow me on Twitter, we put a lot of stuff up on that too. But this whole thing, we're just the messenger. You know, we're trying to save these kids. We care about them. We care about our country. And we will not stop until this battle is won. Trust me on that.
And go back on later when you rewatch this. Put all that information in the comment section so they can feel free to go check that out. Jason Payne said, educating the future is priority. Appreciate this podcast. Always as awesome, Mike. Thank you. You know, we're just trying to bring the information to the people. And we're giving people a platform that other people will not give them a platform, you know? So whether you're a coach, whether you're somebody trying to help the kids, you know, you can, you're welcome to come on and talk about it, you know, as long as it's the right thing to do. Well, thank you, Bob.
Hey, Mikey,
I'm gonna actually copy it right now and put it up on inside the I'm gonna give it its own banner right this second. 1 second. Yep. Technology, Bob.
And one more thing about people like you. Media, you say media doesn't cover it. This media does. You know, our independent media do a great job, and you do an invaluable service to our community, because mainstream media, for the most part, won't cover what we're doing. They won't
no, you're
cover
right.
stories like this. People like you, people like Rhode Island Center of Freedom and Prosperity, you know, in the Dugout Show with Mike Stenhouse, who I did today, other non-mainstream media groups are the ones that are telling this story for us. And I know I'm leaving people out. I'm sorry, but I just
Dan
drew
York
a blank,
as
but.
Well, right? You was on with Dan York. Didn't they charge you like $11,000 for like public information?
They tried to. Yes. And I would not consider Dan York a journalist like you guys are. They don't tell the full story. Now, somebody like Matt Allen, he's a true pro. Alan Jaberti, Lee Elsie, people like that. They're good, solid people, and they give you a fair shake.
The problem with a lot of these guys is they get compromised. A lot of these people, like, there really is three doors, you know, on all levels. There's the straight door, which means you're on your own. There's the door to the right. I don't know if that's what we talked about this whole thing. And then there's the door to the left, and that's, you get compromised. They talk about it all the way up the level. NFL players talk about it. The elite NFL players said, you go to these private parties and you get compromised to basically so they can control you. And
right.
I'll be done in 1 second. Hang on. Yeah. So that actually happens all the time. But thank you, Bob, man. You could definitely get on here pretty, you know, anytime you want. You're definitely always, always welcome. Jason Payne said, mainstream is all about the attention and money and what's popular, not respecting reality. That's right. A fact. Definitely everybody go follow Bob. Check out everything he does and his whole team. He's been fighting a good fight. I mean, he had these people up against the ropes a few times. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Mikey. Take care of yourself and your family. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bob Cherardillo, you know, basically taking Westerly, you know, he really fighting, you know, fighting the teachers that are not doing the right thing. So salute to him. And that loophole is crazy. That loophole in the law. But all right, we'll talk to you guys soon. We out.